preach here today, and I've liked what I've seen so far. A great group of people. Let's pray once again. Heavenly Father, as we have sung about the Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you'd fill me with your Spirit, that you would control me, and that not only would you control me, but you would control each one of the believers who have gathered here today to hear the message. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear what it is that the Spirit would have us to learn. And once again, we thank you for Jesus Christ, that he did not leave us as orphans, but he sent his Spirit to indwell each one of us who have believed. Once again, give me strength, give me power from on high. I cannot do this on my own, Lord, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With God, all things are possible. I just pray that you'd receive all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, for it is in Christ's name I ask and pray. Amen. As I read earlier from that Gospel of John, chapter 14, that's a great chapter, isn't it? All kinds of promises in that chapter. And one of those promises that I read earlier was the promise that Christ made that he would return. But I'll have you turn over to that chapter once again this morning. And a little background to this chapter. Christ had just told the disciples that he's going to be crucified. He's going to die. A cruel death. And that just filled the apostles with all kinds of anguish. And what's going to happen to us? And they didn't envision Christ doing this. That is, going to the cross. They thought that Christ would set up his kingdom and deliver them from Roman tyranny. And in order to encourage them, he says what he says in verses 1 through 6. But once again, he wanted to encourage the disciples, and he encourages us at the same time that he's going to make his return. And it's imminent. It could happen in any moment. Wouldn't it be a glorious thing that if before we finish with this service this morning, that the Lord would return and take his bride, the church, home to heaven? I could live with that. You bet. Man, that'd be wonderful. But for reasons known only to himself, he's chose to tarry. Good thing he did, because if he would have came back in 1950, 53 or 50, I should say 55, and I would have been left behind. But he chose to tarry, and I trusted Christ when I was 12 years old as my own personal Savior. And at that moment in time, the Holy Spirit came into my heart and indwelt me. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit from the day of salvation. But I'm not always filled. You can ask my wonderful wife, Beth, that question. Am I always filled with the Holy Spirit? And sorry to say no. But the God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And but getting back to our chapter here, chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, that wonderful promise is this: I'm going to return, but in the meantime, I'm in heaven preparing a place for you. What a glorious place that's going to be. He's been at the work for 2,000 years. It's going to be a wonderful place to live, isn't it, Mary? But while Christ was here on earth, he had the ministry of the Holy Spirit, didn't he? He glorified God the Father. He comforted. We see Christ time and time again comforting the apostles. He revealed truth to the apostles, to the church. He taught. What a wonderful teacher our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. He reminded, he guided, he convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He empowered, and he made the disciples fruitful, didn't he? But then he was crucified. He was put on that cross. And he paid the penalty for our sins. And on the third day, he rose again. And we read in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, that he ascended to God the Father in heaven. Now, where does that leave us as Christians? Christ is in heaven, and we're here on earth. What does that do for us? Well, if we don't have the whole story, it makes us very much full of anguish, as it did the disciples. If you looked in that same chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, look with me over in verses 15 through 18. Another great promise that brings encouragement to all of us. Let's read about that promise. If you love me, keep my commandments, Christ says. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Underline that phrase, another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, there are three wonderful promises in that short passage there. The first promise I'd like to look at is verse 18. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? I will not leave you or forsake you. I will not leave you in the world alone, but I will come to you and indwell you. Then in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, the Greek word there for another is alas. And helper is parakaleo. The Greek word parakaleo is a compound word, and para means to come alongside, to call and come alongside to help. Parakaleo. But I'd like to zero in on especially on that word alas, another helper. There are two Greek words for that word another. There's the Greek word alas, and there's the Greek word heteros. Now alas means another of the exact same kind. Heteros means another of a different kind. It's interesting, but the Holy Spirit guides and directs the writers of Scripture to use the word alas here. Alas, another comforter. You realize what that means? It means this, that the Holy Spirit is not another of a different kind from God, from Jesus Christ. But it is another of the exact same kind, Jesus Christ. Let me use this illustration to help drive my point home. Say you made a request here at the church, and you came in and you said to me, as I'm filling the pulpit today for Pastor Gary, you came through those doors and you said, you made a request. And you said to me, Pastor Eric, I need another Alas Bible. and you walk through the door, in order to fulfill that request, I couldn't just take a Bible out of the pew there, another Bible, and give it to you and fulfill that request. This would not be another Bible in the sense that it is exactly the same as my Bible. It's another Bible that is different. I'm not sure what you have as a version in your of the Bible in your pews. I think it's an NASB. If I gave you an NASB Bible, that would not fulfill that request. In order for that request, a lost Bible, to be fulfilled, I would have to give you my Bible right here, another Bible of the exact same kind as you're requesting that. Give me another Bible looking at my Bible. And that's exactly the word that is used right here in the Greek for the Holy Spirit. Another comforter means the exact replica, the exact representation of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the exact person of Jesus Christ, who is the exact person of God. Let that truth settle in. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ is God. The doctrine of the Trinity. And I don't pretend to understand it to a complete degree. None of us can understand it to a complete degree. But the Bible says that there's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one essence. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. Now, I can't understand that. If I mull that over in my thinking long enough, I'll blow a circuit. My computer will crash, Matthew. But it's taught in Scripture that God the Father exists in three persons in one essence. Another helper is Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ could say in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. Now, when does the Holy Spirit take up residence in a person's life? As they become believers in Christ. Now, I'm going to have you leave your finger there in John chapter 14 and travel back with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul teaches on this great doctrine of the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's chapter 8, verse 9. Well, let's begin in verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why can't a person please God who's in the flesh? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Notice there it's an uppercase S. It's referring to the Holy Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, notice he uses the Spirit of Christ there, another comforter. He is not his. A person who's unregenerate, a person who is not saved, does not have the Holy Spirit indwelling their life. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life in your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Who dwells in you. I share that passage with you to reaffirm once again the truth, the fact that once we become believers in Jesus Christ, our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Think on that truth for a moment. As a believer, you have Jesus Christ in your life. He indwells you. He's another comforter that comes into your heart and brings you comfort, guides and directs, reveals truth to you, teaches you, convicts you, empowers you, makes you fruitful. Now, the person of Jesus Christ is in us. I'm going to belabor the fact once again, by his Holy Spirit. Now think about the ministry of the Holy Spirit as we compare it to the ministry of Jesus Christ. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? You guessed it. He is in our life to what? Glorify God the Father. The Holy Spirit comes into our life and comforts us. Comforts us on every side. The Holy Spirit comes into our life and reveals truth to us. Before I was saved, I could not understand in its totality the truth of the Word of God. But once the Holy Spirit came in and indwelt me, the Word of God became alive and living and powerful and pertinent and relevant in my life. Before that, the Word of God was, in every sense of the word, was pretty much meaningless. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit reminds us, doesn't it? Doesn't he? He guides us into truth. He convicts us. He empowers us. He makes us fruitful in the Christian life. Power through another comforter, the Holy Spirit. As the alas parakaleo comes alongside to help me, now hear this. I can say the miraculous. I can say the miraculous when the Holy Spirit fills me. I can do the miraculous as the Holy Spirit indwells me, as the Holy Spirit fills me. I can have miraculous courage. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me by that Holy Spirit, by his Holy Spirit. By his Holy Spirit, I'm in the very presence of Jesus Christ. Jesus empowers me. I have power through another. Alas, parakaleo. Now, I'd like to conclude this message with an illustration from the life of the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter drives home this truth that is so present that by the Holy Spirit, I can say the miraculous, I can do the miraculous, I can display miraculous courage. Let's look at the Apostle Peter's life. Why, turn with me over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. By the power of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter did the miraculous. Let's read about that. The Apostle Peter was a great fisherman, wasn't he? Well, sometimes. Sometimes he wasn't so great. He had been out fishing all night on the Sea of Galilee, and the Apostle Peter's frustrated, as his livelihood depended upon the fish that he caught. Let's pick up on the account in verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, or the lake of Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little ways from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Then he stopped speaking and said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon rolled his eyes. Wait a minute. We've been fishing all night. You're going to tell us to get our nets wet again? We just cleaned them, Lord. Verse 5, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down our nets again. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. Then it dawns on Peter, Jesus Christ is not your average person. Well, he fell down in worship, didn't he, in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. This is God. This is the incarnate Son of God. But I share that passage with you to drive home this truth. When the Apostle Peter was in the presence of Jesus Christ, he did the miraculous. He filled up his net with fish. It broke the net. He could do the miraculous as he was in the presence of Jesus Christ. If you recall back in John chapter 21, it wasn't the case when Peter was not in the presence of Jesus Christ. Once again, we see Peter out fishing. He caught no fish. Where was Christ? Christ wasn't right there present on the scene, was he? But the second thing I want us to see this morning is this, that when Peter was in the presence of Jesus Christ, he said the miraculous. He said the miraculous. Turning in that same Gospel of Luke over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 18. Remember once again, Peter is in the presence of Jesus. Beginning in verse 18 of chapter 9 of Luke. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him and asked them, and he asked them, saying, Who do the crowds say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. Notice here. While in the presence of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter said the miraculous. Why, Christ said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Catalog that in your thinking. Peter, when he was in the presence of Jesus Christ, he did the miraculous. He said the miraculous. Now look with me over in chapter 22 of the same gospel. Chapter 22, verse 54. Why, when Peter was in the presence of Jesus Christ, he displayed miraculous courage, didn't he? Man, he was ready to take on the world. As long as he had the Savior by his side. Let's read there in verse 31, chapter 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. He meant that. He meant that because he was in Jesus Christ's presence. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will crow not this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, knapsack, or sandals, did you lack anything? So they said nothing. But notice Peter once again. Hey, I'm going to go with you to prison, and if need be, I'm going to go with you to death. He had great courage when he was in the presence of the Son of God. Then look with me over the page, verse 47. While he was still speaking, that is, when Christ was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus and kissed him. Then Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them, we know who that one was, one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. We know that he was going for his head, don't we? He missed. But Jesus answered and said, permit even this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Man, the Apostle Peter was loaded for bear, wasn't he? You're not going to take my Savior. And he took his sword out and he tried to take off that guy's head and he missed and took off his ear. But the point I want to drive home this morning is this. When we're in the presence of Jesus Christ, we have miraculous courage, as Peter did. Now, let's quickly look at what was Peter when he wasn't in the presence of Jesus Christ. Well, look in that same chapter 22, and verse 54. Chapter 22 and verse 54. Having arrested him, they led Jesus and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Hey, what happened to his courage? He followed at a distance. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them, and a little servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and made Peter very nervous. Look intently at him. And said, this man was also with him. She pointed her finger right at Peter. This is one of Christ's followers. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another one saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. What happened to Peter? We know that when he was in the presence of Jesus Christ, he did the miraculous. When he was in the presence of Jesus Christ, he said the miraculous. When he was in Christ's presence, he displayed miraculous courage. But now a little servant girl points her finger at Peter and says, you're one of them. And he cowardly said, I do not know the man. Wow, what a study. Now, look with me over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Remember that promise? that I will send to you another comforter, another helper, alas, parakaleo. I will never ever leave you nor forsake you. When did this become a reality? Well, look there in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Peter is in the assembly. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. And what was that promise? I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you, and I will send another comforter. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They were looking to Christ as setting up his empire and delivering them from Roman tyranny. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, when alas parakaleo, has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So the promise, once again, is reaffirmed. Now look over in that same Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. The Holy Spirit has come and indwelt the disciples, Peter included. Let's read about Peter once again. Keep it in mind, Peter now is once again saying the miraculous, doing the miraculous, and displaying miraculous courage. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and then appeared on them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I'd like to make a distinction here. There's a distinction between the dwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit, that means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, at the moment of salvation. But we are not always filled with the Spirit. We are not always controlled by the Holy Spirit. People, beloved, when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, just like the Apostle Peter, we can say the miraculous, we can do the miraculous, we can display miraculous courage. The Holy Spirit, alas, parakaleo, comes in, is in our life, and we're giving the control of our life over to him. Now look with me there in Acts chapter 2. And I was trying to pick it up where Peter starts to preach. Can you help me out there? Verse 14, thank you. And Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all of you who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to read the whole sermon, but we know the rest of the story. He preached the glorious gospel. And who was present in that crowd of people? The people who had crucified Jesus Christ. I would dare say that that little servant girl, perhaps, and the others who had pointed the finger at Peter previously were in that crowd. And Peter eloquently and boldly preaches the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see, is it 3,000 souls are added to the church that day. Once again, where did the power come? Well, through the Holy Spirit, of course. Through the Holy Spirit, Peter was able to practice the presence of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ was in his life by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God. So once again, Peter is saying the miraculous, doing the miraculous, and displaying miraculous courage. And to drive home the fact even further, look over in chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer in the ninth hour, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He was able to heal that man by the power of the Holy Spirit. He did the miraculous. He just said the miraculous. He just displayed miraculous courage. Now we see him doing the miraculous. Now, I'm not saying for one moment that ability has been empowered to us as members of the 21st century church. I don't believe that we can go around laying on hands on people and seeing them get up and walk. I don't believe in the ministry of Benny Hinn. I believe he's a fraud. But in the life of Peter, it was true. He was able to miraculously heal others as he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Power through another. Power through another. Beloved, God has not left us as orphans. Jesus Christ has not left us as orphans. He's left us with his Holy Spirit. We got to be filled. We got to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I'll conclude with this. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit once again at the moment of salvation. Praise God. How in the world then are we filled with the Holy Spirit? How are we controlled by the Holy Spirit? Through obedience. I've read numerous books. In seminary, I was given a course on how to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Some books say that you got to follow these 10 steps to be filled, to be controlled. I don't believe it's as complicated as that. Beloved, we're only filled with the Holy Spirit, we're only controlled by the Holy Spirit to the degree that we are obedient to His Word. If we're not obedient to God's Word, we're not going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. If I could use this illustration to drive home that truth. My sons, when they were growing up, they were only controlled by me to the degree that they were obedient to my word, the best word. If I told them to go out and mow the lawn, and they went out and mowed the lawn, you would have to say that at that moment they're being controlled by me, their father. But what if they say, "Get lost, Dad. I'm going to go play basketball." Are they controlled by their father in that instance? No, not at all. The same applies to us. Christians who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we are only controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are only filled by the Holy Spirit to the degree that we are obedient to the precious truths in God's Word. As we're obedient to those precious truths, we can say the miraculous, we can do the miraculous, and we can have miraculous courage. That's why it's so important that we be people of the book, that we study the Bible, that we read it, that we memorize it the truths in the Word of God, that we meditate on those truths. And more important than that, that we apply the truths in our living. I can know all that there is to know from this precious book right here. I can know it frontwards and backwards, backwards and frontwards, or whatever. I can know it all together. But if I'm not being applying the truths of this book to my living, I'm not controlled by the Holy Spirit. It takes work, hard work, diligent work. And I'll conclude with this illustration. There's one part of me that wishes that I could take this precious word and put it under my pillow at night, lay my head down on that pillow, and the words of this book would permeate through a process of osmosis into my mind and reprogram my thinking. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But it doesn't work that way, does it? I'm not saying that I have a better plan than God, but the lazy part of me says that sometimes. It takes hard work, study, memorization, meditation, application. And as we do that, we're going to be able to live supernatural, God-given lives that will glorify Jesus Christ. At this time, I believe we'll conclude with a closing song. Okay, I'll pray here. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to apply what we have gleaned from your word this morning. Help each one of us to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to be comforters, to be witnesses for you in a world that is lost and dying. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Christ's name. Amen.